And I have my helpers here, completely unrehearsed, so we'll see how it goes. And we expect some audience participation, right? Yay! So the story, the film, by the way, is... Oh, wait and see. In the perfect land of Eden, or, sorry, somewhere or other, lived the trolls. And they were a people absolutely full of joy. They had music, regular hugs, lots of colour. And they were governed by King Pepi, who had a young daughter called Princess Poppy, who grew up to be a natural-born leader. Attractive, she was energetic and full of fun and colour. Somewhere nearby lived the kingdom of the Burgons, ruled by King Gristle, who has a young son called, surprisingly, Prince Gristle. They were miserable, argumentative, antisocial bunch. And due to fake news or social media rubbish or some such influence, the Burgons believed that the only way to be happy and have joy was to eat a troll. Much like if you eat asparagus, you know, you get green wee, you know that? And if you eat lots and lots of beetroot, did you know this, you get red wee? I'm sorry, parents out there, you might have to experiment with that later. Amongst them lives Satan. Oh, sorry, Chef. So Chef was a super mean, manipulative, power-seeking Burgon in charge of cooking the trolls, therefore holding the power of happiness. One year, the trolls who were captured to be eaten escaped. Now watch out on the clip. If you blink, you'll miss it, but watch out for the parting of the Red Sea. Chef was banished because the trolls had escaped, so no food, and the Burgon kingdom plunged into forever miserable. So, the trolls escaped into a new land and they lived happily until they decided to celebrate Passover. Until they decided to have a party, despite being warned by a prophet called Branch. And a whole bunch of them were then recaptured by Chef, who had been looking for them all this time. So Branch was a troll who had experienced a pivotal circumstance which had caused him to turn away from joy, to hide, to perhaps leave his circle, to perhaps not rock up on a Sunday morning, to build a wall up around him. Subsequently, he lived alone with his fear, unable to partake in community, and was unsupported. For the benefit of the podcast, we've got a lot of sad faces going here. During the first escape, King Pepi had declared no trolls left behind. No trolls left behind. Princess Poppy goes looking for the captured trolls against advice, including her father's, who said, "I'm sorry, Poppy, what I said about no trolls left behind was a long time ago. I'm not the king I once was." But Poppy believes otherwise, and she journals, she scrapbooks the whole tale as she goes. I think she made about 66 books in total. Subliminal messages here. So she sets out with a reluctant Branch who seems to overcome some of his fear due to a big dump of ego and something else, but I'm not going to spoil the film for you. So Princess Poppy finds joy not because of the circumstance, but in the circumstance, and this was much to the annoyance of Branch. When they get to the land of the Burgons to rescue their friends, they meet Bridget. The kitchen servant. Now, Bridget believes she is unlovable. Oh. She lacks self-worth. She is vulnerable to being bullied and hurt by Chef.
Boo.
And here begins a bit of a Cinderella interlude, which involves falling in love over pizza and ice skating, and she loses her ice skating boot and Prince Gristle finds it, you know, and all this sort of thing. But Bridget now has an audience with the king. and enables an escape.
Hooray!
One of the trolls, Creek, finds the rescue and the threat of being eaten all too much, and he dobs in his friends, leading Chef right to the rest of the trolls. Creek declares, there must be something more I can do, and another way from the way that has been said. So I will do anything to escape this fate. And he justifies his betrayal by saying, I will live with this for the rest of my life, but I'm doing it for you. And the end is for you to see. So thank you to the children. Wonderful. Well done. Thank you. So which of the characters do you most associate with? With Princess Poppy, who's full of joy, faith, and perseverance. With King Pepe, who believes the promises of old are not relevant to today. With Creek, because when push comes to shove, he's looking out for number one. With Branch, who had a bad experience, but dragged himself back into community and eventual happiness. And Bridget, downtrodden by life, bullied into thinking no one could love her, but actually a rather beautiful person, loved by the king. This is a story of perseverance. As Mark put it so well a couple of weeks ago, putting the left foot out, then the right, then the left, keeping on, keeping on. And John has spoken about perseverance this morning. It was just warmed my heart, it really did. It's also about pursuing the one and ensuring no one is lost except the one who chooses to be. And it reminds me so much of the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was betrayed. And you'll find that in John chapter 17. But it also reminds me of the stories that Jesus told in Luke 15. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure that you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbours, saying, celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep. Count on it, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. And imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scout the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call in her friends and neighbours. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. So my challenge today is this. What do you believe about yourselves and about the character of God? Do you believe, like King Pepe, that the promises of old are not applicable to the here and now? In other words, if you believe that, do you believe that God has changed? Do you believe, like Branch, that the experiences of the past have ripped you of your ability to enjoy your present or have hope for the future? Are you Princess Poppy? You know the stuff, you have the joy, you're willing to take a risk. Or are you influenced, like the Bergens, by tradition, by culture, by worldview, and absolutely all that's shared on social media? And who would dare to challenge anything that's shared on Facebook? So is your God view distorted? And do you believe that true happiness comes from what you take in and not from what Jesus does inside you? Are you lonely and unhappy like Bridget, feeling unlovable and unworthy of the love of the King? Let me tell you a bit about the love of the King. Has he gone missing? Is he hiding somewhere, waiting for us to search him out? Because we say that, don't we? We search for God. Where are we looking? I mean, is he lost? If you take one thing from this film, I'd love it to be this. It's not our job to go searching. It's his nature to come for us. He chose us before the formation of the world. Check out Psalm 139 when you get home. Heaven celebrates when we are found, and heaven mourns when we turn away. We aren't Princess Poppy. We are the captured trolls, and it's the king who's coming for us with relentless perseverance. The question is, where are we hiding? So why would he? Well, I once heard a quote from an American soul singer called John Legend. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he said, anyone who truly loves something is terrified of losing it. And that's the love of God and his pursuit of us. And it makes no odds whether we think ourselves worthy or not. He created us in his likeness. He sent his son to live with us and in us. And he knows us inside out, all our faults and failures. But he chooses to love the best in us. So that's how the king loves us. And you know he will endlessly pursue each and every one of us. It's his love that makes us worthy. All we have to do is to step out of the shadow and open the door. He is the one who's searching, and we are the ones to be found. So later, when you've had your barbecue and you've watched the film maybe, check again the prayer of Jesus in John 17 and Psalm 139. Jesus' prayer for us, I think, is the greatest celebration of love ever. But you know what? I'm up for partying. See you later.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit ashfordvineyard.org, or maybe drop into something if you're nearby. In the meantime, have a great week and know just how loved you are.